Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Freedom. Freedom! Well, sign away my freedom. Why, this is ridiculous.
Don't be corny, brother.
Sure, our system of free enterprise isn't perfect. But before we throw it away for some imported double talk, let's turn the clock back a few years to see what it's done for us.
With your host, Mike Paul.
Hey, Corn Pop.
Yo, what's up?
His name is Corn Pop on the screen. I like that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I almost tried to do something and do a different name, but I didn't.
So we're back after almost 2 weeks off. We cranked out a few episodes there and kind of blew our wad, but we have recovered. We got some Gatorade in us and we're back to talk some shit tonight. So it's me, Nick Paul, my brother Mike. We got Tyler Bennett in again, and you guys can't see this, and eventually we'll have YouTube, or we'll probably get banned from there. So whatever the new streaming platform is
Odyssey.
That allows free
Odyssey.
Speech. Odyssey, sure. I'm not even aware of it, but we're going to be on Odyssey. And when we do, you'll see that Tyler's name is displayed as Corn Pop. And
I'm a bad dude.
I'm here for it. Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Boys.
Yeah, Corn Pop was a bad dude. And then returning is our friend Chad, who has been, you know, he's been our you know, relief pitcher. He comes in and hosts whenever he feels like it, and it's always a good time. So
this is essentially our group chat minus one name who should not be mentioned, who we want on the podcast. But yeah. this is how the whole podcast started. It was just, we talk shit every day and we're like, we should do a podcast.
It's true.
Yeah, that's 100%. How it all popped up. And when that guy, who will remain nameless for now, when he does join, he will steal the show a little bit. He's a character.
No, I said, but it'll be like he'll be like the Ted Nugent. You won't even know who the other members of the band are once he appears.
Yeah.
He started with Pulse of the Wall. He started with the Pulse of the Wall podcast, and then he kind of just went solo from there.
So the Uncle Ted that's not talked enough about on this pod.
There's like three Uncle Teds.
Anyhow, four. I've interrupted Nick like four times, so it's time for Nick to.
Yeah.
Get on one.
So, okay. I'm sure that the listeners at this point have heard about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine pause, right? So they've administered like 7 million shots, and then all of a sudden they say, hey, we're pausing this to review it for safety because there's a blood clotting issue. So as soon as this happened, I was very curious. It's like, okay, how widespread is this? Are they making it sound, you know, not as bad as it is, or are they making it sound worse than it is? And I just came across this article from Reason magazine. And the data that they're displaying for why they did this pause is 6 confirmed cases out of 7 million administered have had confirmed blood clots. So 6 cases out of 7 million. So the chances are not even 1 in a million of developing this blood clot, which is, again, why they are pausing it. Okay, so at face value, this makes absolutely no sense. Because if you listen to them, they'll tell you that the risk of dying from COVID is far, far, far greater than 1 in a million.
I thought it was like 1 in 5 died of COVID.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, it's a 20% mortality rate.
I thought it was like half.
Yeah, depending on what you watch. But first of all, like even my local news page, they'll always share these graphics where it's Illinois and they have virus spores behind it with all these orange and red and dark colors, like it's hell. Like here's COVID and it's hell. And they display different metrics every time, like testing positivity rates have reached 6.5% for the first time since November. And it's like, okay, that is meaningless. Is that supposed to scare me? How many people are you testing? Okay, why are they getting tested? Is there a reason that it's higher? Because not symptomatic people are getting tested less, so you're going to have less negative effects. Like it makes no sense. Again, it's all about show me the hospitalizations and the deaths and maybe the cases. Those are the notable metrics that actually matter. And then show me them over time. Okay, what is it week to week, month to month, and everything else? And you could actually parse out, is it getting worse? Is it getting better? And they don't do that because it is clearly getting better. Okay, you have millions upon millions of people that have had the virus, that have had the vaccine. It just cannot spread the same way it did last summer, but they don't want that to be the case. Like they want to cling to this so desperately because media, whether it's, you know, cable news channels or even your local affiliate, they need people afraid and miserable and just tuning in to talk about how their life is in imminent danger. And it's really shameful. It's fucking disgusting that people are, the media is still pushing this bullshit. And the latest thing, this vaccine beyond Orwellian campaign, where, you know, I saw the one quote that was from the White House correspondent when he offered his explanation to the press. He said, "This decision was made by the CDC and FDA," said Jeff Zients, a White House COVID response coordinator. Again, quote, "We're ruled by the science, not any other consideration." We are ruled by the science. They literally talk about it like it's this deity that they worship, right? Even though science is just a study that human beings practice, and then they find out they get things wrong and they readjust their approach. But it's whatever the CDC and the FDA and Fauci say right this second is the ultimate gospel truth, and you are a heretic if you question it. So why is it not a question? Why did one reporter not ask, wait, if this is less than one in a million that this is happening to with the blood clots with the J&J vaccine, why are you pausing it when the death rate of COVID for all these people that are going to die or contract COVID and die from not getting the vaccine fast enough because the supply has been restricted? How is that mathematically? Can you please reconcile that? Make this make sense for me. And there's been no explanation because they don't get asked questions and there is nothing beyond
questions.
Exactly. I've ranted long enough. You guys can go ahead.
If you ask questions, they drown you out. They shut you up. They call you a crazy anti-vaxxer conspiracy theorist, which for the record, we owe Alex Jones an apology.
Yeah.
Get him back on Twitter right
Maybe
now.
Maybe not us. Maybe not us personally, but
no,
society.
I think, yeah. Yes, society does.
You know,
where's that Alex Jones soundbar?
What's funny is I've been binging podcasts hard this week with all the content going on. And I heard both Tim Pool and Jason Stapleton make that same statement back to back in the same day that, you know, give it enough time and Alex Jones gets vindicated on a lot of issues. I was like, it's kind of odd that two separate people that don't even know each other said the same thing.
I forgot who I was listening to, but they were like, they said they wanted to just grab a hold of the elites and say, listen, can you stop making Alex Jones right? Can you just please stop that for a minute? It's freaking me out.
You know, like the other crazy thing is that Michael Malice said it, where basically like COVID was the prime opportunity for like weak and cowardly people to finally exert power and dominance over the rest of the people, something they've never had. And those people aren't going to let this go either. They feel like they're so tough when they get on Facebook and they say, you know, like the cattle brand themselves. They're like, I got my vaccine today. And they're all like, which one did you get, Moderna or Pfizer? And then the third person's like, I got blood clots. But, you know, seriously, though, it's like the cattle brand themselves. Like, it's so ridiculous. Like, okay, cool, you got a vaccine. Like, we're proud of you. Cool. You know, like, why do you got to share that on your Instagram story, your Facebook posts? And, like, it doesn't make you a hero. It just, get the vaccine if you want it, but shut the fuck up.
You get shamed for not getting it. I've got friends that have like asked me, well, why haven't you gotten it? I was like, well, I just had an antibody test 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Like, I know for a fact that I have antibodies for the virus. Like, and like, you know, I had it. I don't know.
Right.
It's crazy.
Exactly. But Chad, you have to remember that science no longer exists. Like, I'll tell people the same thing. It's like, oh, you don't wear a mask. And it's like, instead of giving them my whole, worldview pitch, because that's a lot and that would be a never-ending conversation. Yeah. I just go, nope, you know what, I already had it, so I'm immune to it, because that's the way viruses work. Because, you know, I've actually dug a little bit into the science. Like, you say, like, no, I have the science. Like, it's like two different warring countries going at war together and they both believe that they have God on their side. it's you know, you could just hijack the term science from them. And I actually am referencing science. Like, I have the antibodies. Unless there's a you know, crazy mutation, I'm immune to it. Right. So I'm not going to give it to you. I'm not going to get sick.
So
exactly.
I've been kind of frustrated just the way they're treating children, just because it hits home with me. But my 8-year-old, you know, I remember seeing the first time they went back to in-school learning, she had to hop on the bus, and they hire an extra, you know, worker to be on every school bus, because the bus driver can't do this, an extra worker that the taxpayer foots the bill for, or extra worker, to take an infrared thermometer and get their temperature when they come on the bus, with no science, because the kids, you know, the kids are not really in danger of this thing, and there's no evidence that they actually transmit it to adults, from what I've understood. But I kind of just like rolled my eyes, like, oh, come on, like, we just don't even have any say in this. We just add all these new employees that are off my property taxes, my neighbor's property taxes. We have all these new employees. But what really frustrated me is that my daughter came home complaining that she got scolded at on the bus for sitting too close to her friend. I was like, so this isn't just like a lady taking a temperature. This is a COVID compliance enforcer that every bus has. And they're sitting there making sure your mask doesn't go below your nose. You don't get too close to your friends when you're 8 years old.
Right.
And that it's just like, and that you don't have a temperature, which, dude, kids get fevers all the time. Like, I got kids. Like, it's like, we're lucky if we go 2 months without someone getting a fever pre-COVID. You know, it's like, it's just kids. They're
don't be saying that on air. The CDC is going to kick your door in.
Oh, but since COVID broke out, they have not once gotten a fever.
Oh, shit.
Dude, well, did you guys see that we cured the flu? Trump's legacy is that he cured the flu.
And they're saying that, well, you see what's happening is COVID is replacing the flu. All of the social distancing measures that we've done have wiped out traditional viruses, and it's really just COVID that's left. It's like this natural selection, which is just fucking nonsense. I had a coworker that had a regular common cold a week ago. You know, that shit's still going on.
Mm-hmm. I've had two false COVID tests, or two negative, I should say, because I had some nasty head cold, and the doctor's like, yeah, you got some virus.
So when you guys went in for your COVID test, did they anal swab you, or how did you get tested?
I asked them to, but they didn't.
Oh, yeah, I did a voluntary anal swab.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I went in there to the drive-up testing center and just dropped trout. I was ready to go.
I hope it's just on my end, but Chad, your microphone is really staticky every time you talk.
Yeah, really? It's here too.
He's got that auto-tune going.
Oh boy, he's fucking with it. Don't fuck with it.
I have no idea, man.
Our listeners
are going to be, you know, pretty, they're starting to understand that we're still in our like growing pains. It's like we're a garage band. And we're still just like touring locally, and we're still like, our amps are getting some feedback. Oh, we just lost Chad. Literally.
But, you should have got the auto-tune going.
Yeah, so
we couldn't take the heat I was bringing. That's what's happening.
Device is not
connected. He didn't want a podcast with a bad dude.
He's not a bad boy. So anyhow,
like
we'll wait for Chad to come back. But yeah, man, I think what's really starting to frustrate me the most is the willingness to traumatize children because it's for the greater good, and we're just following CDC guidelines. It's like, we're just doing our job. We're following the science and safety. It's like, you don't care about mental health. You don't care about all the death of despair from anyone else with drug and alcohol abuse and suicide and depression and all the other, you know, issues that you can't really account for, because we can't run a parallel test to this to be like, do a control study to see what would happen with no lockdowns and no government regulation to see what they've done right or wrong. We don't have any control.
We sort of do, though. Florida, Sweden, Georgia, there's all these places. Like, you can actually look at, we have a year's worth of data, over a year's worth of data. And Tom Woods, you can get Tom Woods' free ebook at tomwoods.com/ charts they forgot about. I think that's what it is. Chartstheyforgotabout.com will take you there.
I honestly, like, what I believe, you know, obviously it's government. They did this idiotic one size fits all and expect it just to work, you know, because New York City mitigation measures are needed in rural Kansas. So, but what I really think it is I think that you're witnessing a giant experiment to dehumanize and convince the populace to basically police themselves. And, you know, whatever, you you can call me a conspiracy theorist all you want, but like these people at the top are, they've been trying this forever. Cause you know, it started with like James Corbett said it, you know, there's first you had pharaohs and they were gods. But then when people are like, I don't know if these people are gods, then you had the pharaohs are like, well, God selected me to do this. And like, and then it became, well, our bloodline is just more superior and we're meant to, or we're bred to breed, you know, lead. So like all throughout history, it's what you're seeing. And now, like Nick said, it's the science. The science, we're, because like you can't question it now. They're like, well, oh, so you don't believe in science? What are you, some backwoods hillbilly? Like, and that's what you're seeing is they're just, their children are the most, you know, they're like, Mike, you know, they're like sponges, man. Mm-hmm. If you say a curse word around them, they're going to curse.
Oh, yeah.
So like, that's what I'm saying though, is like they're impressionable. So now these young kids are going to grow up and think that people not wearing masks are psycho, they're weird. Anyone rebelling against the rules, they're like, they can't do that. Maybe. They're going to die. You know, like they're just totally dehumanizing children. And cause they know they're the most impressionable. So they can get a whole generation of kids now with this. Maybe. Cause like people our age, we're like, dude, I've peed in dive bar bathrooms. I ain't worried about COVID.
Yeah. Well, the flip side of that is what Nick's brought up before, that these kids like might get red pilled at a super young age and become like just these rebellious punk rock type F the establishment. Like you guys are lying to us about everything. It could backfire, but it could not, because they have so much control with tech and television and even toys and music. And it's like every area of influence is like, I mean, stacked against them. I mean, it's terrifying.
I think there's going to be a split. The same way I think that in our generation, there was a split with 9/11, where people bought into the propaganda, everything surrounding 9/11. And let's call them like the neocon influenced. And then there are people who, like, let's say even like just watched Loose Change when they were in middle school and started going down these rabbit holes of, okay, here's what's shady about 9/11, even if they got a lot of it wrong. Right. Like a lot of the stuff that there are so many 9/11 theories that completely miss the mark. Like there's plenty of shady stuff that went on involving the Pentagon and the federal government in 9/11. But it wasn't like George W. Bush orchestrated it. Right. It's just that the CIA like knowingly had these people, you know, like observed for months and months and months before. Mm-hmm. And they knew this shit was going down most likely. And they let it happen as a pretense to go to war in the Middle East. So but then, you know, so back to my point, I think the same way that it red pilled a lot of people that are our age in their 20s and 30s, I think that the COVID thing is going to polarize and red pill a lot of kids. And it's also going to make a lot of kids super duper indoctrinated.
Yes. You're always going to have those types. So I don't think any of you guys listened to it because we chatted about it today in the group chat, but so Vin Armani was on Liberty Lockdown, which we had both those guys on back to back in the same week. So it was super cool to hear those guys talk amongst each other. But Vin brought up such a cool point that I never heard about how when you look at the founding of the United States, it took a certain type of personality to come here. Like, you know, we talked about this before with like the people that would have stayed back. Like those people were risk takers, go-getters. Like, I'm going to gamble everything for the chance at a slightly better life. I might die getting there, but I'm going to give it a shot. So, like, that's all of our ancestors in this country. Like, that, I mean, okay, minus, like, the slavery thing, that's a whole separate issue. I'm not trying to get into that.
But honestly, it's a similarity because it's like their ancestors understood the price of freedom, you know?
True, yeah. But it was kind of interesting to hear that. He said, but after this many generations, and the baby boomers particularly, were just, like, the spoiled rich kids. Mm-hmm. They were born into a super rich household and had no appreciation of what it took to make it. They just inherited the giant family business. And these are my words, not his, but that's essentially what he was saying. Like that, you know, those genes didn't exist here because those people came here. They took giant risks. Then they had kids with people that did the same thing. So, and they were brought into the household with these values. And that's why we just like, you had all the most risk-taking, entrepreneurial, hardworking, lay it all on the line personalities in the world, kind of like that great melting pot they used to talk about, it came here and made like all these generations that, you know, like the Industrial Revolution, World War II, we abolished slavery. Like it it was pretty utopian by any other world standards.
And they were drunk.
Yeah.
It always helps, you know, like,
of course.
Yeah. Like, we should shoot some redcoats. And that, as they're all like chugging bottles of rum, they're like, hell yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do it.
Why do you think they shut down the bars right away?
They did. Yeah. So yeah, that's, we talked about that with Vin, like about how taverns and churches are very communal places. And that's where like dissent or just even just community in general, but dissent and discussion happens. And that's why the first things they shut down were those. Because if they would have tried to lock people down or say you need to stay at home, but still let people, if they wanted to, go to bars, it would have been over. I mean, it already is in the small towns. You go to any small town in America, they ain't wearing masks. Life is normal in small towns. It's only in the big city centers
where the staff in the small towns and the bars will wear masks strictly to save face value if the health department walks through the door.
Yeah. They're usually like chin diapered or at least below their nose, you know.
But I said it before because I'm in a 3,000 person town, like, and you know, it's hit or miss. I mean, like, obviously all the government buildings, like if you go to the library or the schools or, you know, the city hall or anything, like they enforce it. It can't go below your nose. Like, they scold you for it. But if you go into a grocery store, we got two in town. One enforces it, I guess. I mean, everyone does it, so I just don't ruffle feathers. The other one, like, I forgot my mask one time, and I walked in there, and there's like, nobody in there. It was, like, 8 o'clock at night. And I was like, can I get a mask? And she started to grab one. And I was like, or do you even care? She goes, oh, we're not going to say anything. I was like, oh, cool. I just got to grab some eggs. Like, and so there's a lot of that mentality. But the cops and the health department workers, they shop at the same stores. They know the same cashiers. They know the same bar owners. Like,
yeah,
we're all a small community. And that's why things work best at a small community level, not a giant, like, one-size-fits-all, top-down approach.
Yeah, well, that's what's I mean, I'm sure you guys have all heard of Dunbar's number, which is the idea that you can only have, I think it's the magic number is 150 stable relationships in your life at any given point. So
that's a lot of girlfriends. Like,
it is. And there's no way you're going to have that many stable relationships with your exes.
He said stable relationships.
Where it's like you're aware of all the goings on in their life and all these things. I you know, the criteria, because it's like I know of more than 150 people, but I'm probably in contact and talk to about that number. It makes sense. And the reason why is they, like, evolutionary biologists say that's when we were living in tribes, that was like about the size of, you know, the tribe and the number of people that you had to be close with and on good terms with and maintain a relationship with, because that's how humans are designed. And my theory, or it's probably not my theory, but what I, you know, derive from that is when you get into big cities and you lose that sense of community where, you know, if you're in New York City, you have neighbors that live in your building that you've never even made eye contact with. And I think people lose their reasoning and their sanity when they get in these giant groups. And I think that explains why big cities are so harsh with the COVID shit the way they are, because there's no level of trust or community or personal relationships or anything.
Agreed. Did you guys, any of you guys hear the story about the co-owner of Tinhorn Flats in Burbank, California?
No.
No.
They've arrested this guy 3 times now for COVID restriction violations. So it's a popular bar and restaurant in Burbank. And he got, the third time he was arrested is because he got caught removing sandbags that they surrounded his bar with.
Oh my God.
So not only did they surround it with sandbags, they also padlocked the doors. And like, people in the neighborhood, my buddy Alex told me about this, and they padlocked the doors. People in the neighborhood helped the owners cut the padlocks. They removed the door from the restaurant and they put like old school saloon doors in so that the city couldn't chain it up. So like I said, this is the third time he's been arrested, and they also are looking. They arrested him previously for violating a court order on April 1st, and then on the 2nd, he got arrested for the same offense. So now they're looking to basically remove his business license.
Jeez.
And they have a temporary restraining order against the bar because they continue to operate indoors with no one, not even the employees, wearing masks.
Wow.
So they have a court. They have a court date on Friday.
You know, this goes back to, I remember when the first initial lockdown happened, and people were very divided into like, this is 1984, or we just got to do as we're told. Like, those were the two camps, you know, like even in my neighborhood where I was at, it was kind of like, I didn't really get in any arguments with anyone, but I kind of was trying to feel out where they were at. And people were like, oh, you know, this will pass. We're all in this together. And then there are people like, this is how it happens. We got to stop. And, you know, I was, you know, kind of keeping quiet about it, but it just happened slow. Like, cause I remember even like there was a picture that went viral of the National Guard with like hundreds of Humvees on a train, just like coming down, and they're like, oh, this is Joliet, Illinois. And like, it went viral, and my friends were calling me saying like, they're going to shut down our neighborhoods, and these people are all coming. And like, the Illinois National Guard areas, whichever towns they were, went on Facebook, and they're like, guys, please stop. Like, this is just a video from like 4 years ago when we were transporting equipment. We are your friends. We are your neighbors. Nothing bad is happening. Please relax. We're all in this together. And it's like, okay, I hope.
They were just shipping those Humvees to the Capitol.
Right. So, yeah. But then now it's like, had this story about this guy in Burbank come out during that time, we would have been fucking freaking out. But now we're kind of conditioned to it. It's like, yeah, I know these things are happening every now and then. It's not everywhere. It's just this one guy in Burbank. Who cares, you know?
There was also a guy that got arrested in New York City, like in like April, when like things were still bad in New York City. Well, I'll say bad. I don't know. But he was running a speakeasy. you love to see it.
Yeah.
There was a restaurant in town here in Rockford that was doing a speakeasy. I will not name it because it's badass. But they basically, you'd call and say, hey, are you guys open? And it was like after things had opened up but closed back down. Said, hey, are you guys open? And the person was like, no, we're not open. Hang up the phone. Call them back and say, we're open. Knock on the side door and say this password and you can get in.
I got to say this. I know of a gym, and that's as far as I'll go. I'm not going to, because it's a small world in the jiu-jitsu circuit. But I know of a gym that had two levels, like upstairs and downstairs. And this is like last maybe May, June, when there was all this stuff still in place, like nothing began to reopen yet. And on the downstairs level, you had to go around the back of the building. And it's like kind of this shady area. There's weeds everywhere and broken concrete. And, you know, the upstairs, the windows are all blocked off. Like, they have chairs and curtains up and all this stuff. And it says closed out front. You go around back, you go down these stairs in this little alleyway, and it just says jiu-jitsu speakeasy on the door. And they have like a dump, dump, da dum, dump. And then you let in, and there's just music playing and people rolling like, hey, what's up, man? You know, it was great.
Did you go?
I can't say. It was, you know, far away from me in some remote place that I can't confirm that I was there or anything like that. Yeah, I wouldn't. Sure. Plus, I wouldn't do anything like that.
No,
I would never do anything like that. I believe, guys, I follow the science. I'm not going to do
science
that
says not. So the science, I was thinking about that. The science is the claw from Toy Story. Like, they are all those aliens, and they're like, the science tells us when to go outside. The funny part where you can kind of go deeper with that is like, this has replaced God for these people because it's a godless society. We brought up in separation of church and state and school. So we just got rid of the idea. God doesn't exist. Get that old nonsense out of your head. We will take care of you. Just follow what we say. And you get generations of that. And it just kind of explains everything when you look around. It's like, oh, you think that like your governor or president or someone is the one that's going to take care of you, or Fauci, you know? Like, if we just listen to him, everything will be safe. But it's like, dude, that's just a human being. Like, no different than you. Driven by the same desires. They have the same imperfections. Probably worse. Worse imperfections. Ugh. But it's like, that's what happens when you have a godless society. I mean, I'm sorry to say it. Like, the older I get, the more I'm starting to realize it's true.
So, I was just going to say, I really want to, like, get off of social media and get away from all media in general, because I just really don't want to see Fauci's face or hear his voice again. He's a smug little goblin. That's what he is.
For sure. He makes, like, 400 Gs a year, too.
Everything.
Yeah. And sure, he makes way more than 400
Gs. Yeah, well, yeah, that's why Johnson & Johnson vaccine got pulled. They didn't pay him enough.
Guys, Remember, everything we say on this podcast is satire, parody, or comedy.
Canon yeah. will Dr. be used Fauci against you saint. In Gulag.
Yes.
Tyler and I are going to hold our hands on the way into the Gulag. What are you talking about?
I just imagine the Gulag will be like that scene in Goodfellas when they're cooking in prison, where they hit a guy with all the steaks. And
I'll be slicing the garlic with a razor blade to get nice and thin so it melts into the sauce.
Yeah. We'll be doing some jiu-jitsu rolling. It'll be fun.
Hey, but back to the science. I want to read to you guys the definition of science from my great-great-great-grandpa, Noah Webster. My mom says that we're related. I don't know if it's true. But anyway, the first definition of science on Merriam-Webster is the state of knowing, knowledge as distinguished from ignorance or misunderstanding.
Hmm.
Yeah, so it kind of calls it absolute, doesn't it? And then furthermore, the scientific method is defined as principles and procedures for the systematic pursuit of knowledge involving the recognition of formulation of a problem, the collection of data through the observation and experiment, and the formulation and testing of a hypothesis, which we're not doing at all, but means that a heavy component of it should be math, right? And statistics?
Like 1 in 6 million?
Right.
Or 99.8 survival rate?
Right. I think the survival rate of the vaccine is not far off from the survival rate of the virus itself.
Yeah, I think Tim Pool had said the same thing today. It's cracking me up. It's like that you can almost die from the vaccine at the same rate of COVID. So if you're like under a certain age, it's like why would you just even willingly give it to yourself then? Just like take the odds of not getting it at all.
I think we talked about this on the podcast before. Did we talk about Hank Aaron?
No, we haven't. But this
okay,
is
so
point.
Hank, I haven't. Okay, full disclosure, I have not dug very deep into this, but it's not hard to tell sort of what's going on if you look into it at all. Don't Google it. DuckDuckGo it. Okay, Hank Aaron, Hank Aaron, the greatest baseball player probably ever. God, I'm stumbling my words. Hammering fucking Hank. Yeah, Hammering Hank. Passed away this year. He's like 84 years old. 744 home runs, whatever it was.
755.
I knew it was a double number. But anyway, 755. Barry Bonds had to take all the steroids in Mexico in the world to break that number. And anyway, civil rights hero from 57 to 77. The guy's a living legend. He's as legendary as it gets in sports. And he passed away at like 82 or something years old. A couple weeks prior to his death, he died of cardiac arrest or some sort of cardiac failure. He got the jab, like he got the vaccine televised because as a part of, I guess like in the black community, they say people are more skeptical of the vaccine, right on as they should be.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the Tuskegee syphilis experience had nothing to do with that, so full disclosure. But anyway, Hammer and Hank dies and it's hardly in the news. It's people didn't even know. I know fans who are diehard baseball fans that are like, wait, Hank Aaron died? I would tell them this in March. I think he passed away in January or like early February. And, a month later, they hadn't heard that Hank Aaron died. And it's like, why has this been out of the news? And it's like, okay, do a little bit of digging. He on television got the vaccine and then passes away. I am not saying that the vaccine killed him directly or indirectly. I'm saying that they are clearly keeping that shit out of the news because they don't want people to, make that speculation.
Right. And that's a great point that it's like, there's no like evidence to say that's why. I mean, the guy was in his 80s. He could have died any day. That's just
exactly. I'm not making that claim.
Of course. But yeah, it's like one of the biggest legends, especially like of the black civil rights community in this time.
Yeah.
Should have been a huge story. It should have been like RBG times 10. When that guy passed away, like he was just a civil rights hero and legend. I mean,
RBG was just a quarterback that was, better in college than he was in the NFL. And, he was good. Don't get me wrong, but.
No, that was RGB the third.
To your point. I mean, he played 1957 to 1977. So he was, of course, it's like the the woke cathedral should be, he should be one of their like poster boys, you know, as he should be. I mean, he's a great American hero for anybody.
Skin color aside, the guy was an amazing human being.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, while we're on the subject of, you know, racial division driven by the media, did you hear about the trained Marxist founder of Black Lives Matter, Patrice Cullors, I believe her name is, bought a like $1.4 million mansion in Topanga Hills, California, with a 1% black population. So it's like either she's a born again capitalist, you know, and also apparently doesn't really care about, you know, racial division in neighborhoods, or can I say, you know, question if it's a grifting type thing? Like I'm afraid to pick my words wisely here, but, yeah. What are you guys' thoughts? What do you think about this?
I mean, there's a lot of like divide and conquer nonsense going on. I mean, you can just watch the news for a few days and you'll see it. So, I mean, it's possible there's some very influential people in the world. They're like, here, we'll cut you a check. You know, you keep doing your work and you can live in this nice neighborhood, because divide and conquer is really ideal when you're navigating the greatest wealth transfer the modern world has ever seen. So obviously they don't want people to start picking up on that. Like, hey, why does this avocado cost $5 now? You know, they'll just be like, oh, that sucks. And then they'll blame it on Suez Canal or whatever other bullshit.
Greed.
It's
always greed.
I can't tell you the number of people I know that see the rising prices in plywood or copper or anything, and they go, I think they're doing it on purpose so they can gouge prices. And it's like, but they're saying that they don't have the product that they would want to sell for higher sales. Like, there's back ordered everything, basic shit all over the place, and they're holding out on you. Instead of having 10 sales where they make 20%, they want to make one sale where they make, you know, 35% because it's existing inventory and everyone is in on it. There's not one company that has inventory that is going to keep selling it at a reasonable price.
Well, Nick, what's funny about that is that these are the same people, like, they're suggesting that all these private companies, big and small across the world, gathered to conspire to raise prices. Like, so you're a conspiracy theorist. Like, if you're saying that, you're into like some wild privately funded conspiracies, like all these little companies making products in China and all across the world, they all conspired. These lumber companies conspired to raise prices on you because times are hard right now. So it's a great time to take your money. It's not the $12 trillion that we just printed out of thin air and pumped into the hands, you know, helicopter money into every American.
Dog, that's like January numbers. It's like 15 trillion now.
Dude, it just keeps going.
I can't get
higher than that.
The other thing too about those people that always piss and moan about the corporations and greed and blah blah blah, it's like they're nothing but just empty white bougie Prague vessels. They have no qualms going to Starbucks. They all their viewpoints align with these big corporations and big government. Like,
you love that?
They're the most pathetic individuals I've ever seen in my life. Seriously.
Don't you love that? Like, especially with the vaccine thing. It's like, these are the people that a year ago would have said that they were the sworn mortal enemies of Big Pharma. And now they're sitting here cheering on Big Pharma raking in billions while having zero liability, and shaming you and trying all this social pressure and trying to legislate people into getting the vaccine, while, again, they're just laughing all the way to the bank, regardless of its effectiveness or safety. I'm not saying anything about those things. Purely the transactional, you know, what's happening here. They're getting filthy rich, as if they weren't already rich. But all the new printed money, they're taking in plenty of it.
Just wait until they come out with the booster shot, because there's some new Indian Ocean variant. You know, they're already talking about the South African variant. There's some variant. it's only a matter of time. You got to protect yourself. So you're going to need three booster shots, which are, you know, they're going to make a lot of cash off that too. Like, and it's liability free.
I was thinking, like, you know, because when you look at with Fauci, you know, once again, the great man, I'm saying nothing bad about him. He's a saint and a
goblin.
He's a national treasure. not a goblin. He keeps like just moving the goalposts of like how you still got to wear a mask, you still can't go in public if you're vaccinated, and it's like I start to wonder, like this sounds crazy, but when you look at things, it's like, are they just like, are they running a casino where they're putting bets on how long they can make us do shit? Like, I bet you we can get them to go till 2022 wearing masks. And it's like, no, dude, I'm giving it like fall of 21. Like, so they have all their bets. So they're just like, I'm going to keep them going. I'm going to go make a statement. Like, it starts to wonder, like, that makes more sense than anything else. Because clearly there's no science or logic or anything.
True. True. It's...
Well, I think it goes back to what Tyler was talking about earlier with the you know, I don't remember. I think I cut out while you began to talk about it, what region of the world it was. But people were taking rule, and then it became, you know, well, God told me to do it and this and that. Like, it all goes down to they're just nuts, not specifically speaking about Fauci because
great man.
We're not talking about him. He's awesome. But people in general, these you know, people in power, like, I think, you know, like you said, they make the excuses. Well, we've got to do it because of this. We got to do it because of this. And the realistic thing is that they were just nuts to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, no, I mean, you know, what really drove that home for me is you talk about how they started to use their bloodline as excuse. Well, you have to be nuts to do that because then you're just banging your brothers and sisters. I mean, what the hell?
A lot of them did.
Yeah, it was all incest. Your bloodline is like full incest. It's insane.
It's pretty messed up. Hey, but before we get too far off subject, I kind of want to circle back to the BLM founder buying that mansion. So circle back. So Phil from All That Remains was on Tim Pool when I first heard about this story, and I don't know if it's his original phrase or if he saw it online, but they said BLM now stands for Buy Large Mansions.
Yeah.
that made me actually start laughing while I was driving by myself in my car.
Maybe it's just gentrification.
Yeah.
Could be.
You know, being a Marxist or like a bougie Prague, it's a lucrative endeavor if you're at the top.
Oh yeah. I mean, no one gets richer than the elite during a socialist or communist takeover.
Right.
Like, I mean, look at Venezuela. Like, they were just rolling in high cotton, you know, until you know, it worked until it didn't, you know.
Right.
That's exactly, Hugo
Chavez,
yeah.
When he took over. They boomed for a little bit, but that's usually how it goes, is at first there's that honeymoon phase where things are good, and then it all goes to shit.
And then you realize no value is being created anywhere in your economy. It's all right. Spending.
Yeah, didn't Robbie the Fire just announce that he's gonna go full Marxist socialist? I think he said that on his last podcast.
Yeah, I listened to his podcast. That was a funny rant.
he's in for the money. He's going full Marxist socialist. Yeah.
He's like, I'll sell my soul. Man. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, he's a businessman.
Yeah, straight to the facts, man.
Hello. Dude, Robbie's stream of conscious like comedy on his podcast just cracks me up, where it's like you can't even keep up. He's just so like going in random directions, but you can't stop listening because it's just like, where is he going with this?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I love that he opens a lot of his episodes when he has guests with him just doing a 20-minute rant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's always claiming that he's podcasting in his car in a park.
Yeah, yeah. And then the transition always seems to be like, but anyways, here's...
Yeah. So what we're saying is, Robbie, if you're listening to this, you can come on here and open with a 20-minute rant before we start talking.
Anytime.
Yes.
Anytime.
I don't have any say in the matter, but I'm given full permission.
Hell yeah. I did listen to his episode on the vaccine passports. That was wild.
Yeah.
And NFTs. Yeah. I didn't know a lot of that stuff because they ended about NFTs. And apparently, did you guys know this? That you can actually buy property with an NFT, but like instead of like all of us having to go like one third in, you can actually buy it and sell off parts of the NFT. So you could own like 1/10, 1/12 of like an apartment building and make just passive income.
Okay.
So like, that's pretty promising if it holds up, because that could allow for a lot of people to become, you know, more involved in these what used to be high barriers of entry investments.
All right. Can you Can you kind of explain a little deeper to me what exactly an NFT is? Because Vin Armani is vehemently against them. He thinks like it's a scam. But then Naval Ravikant, who's like one of my other big like philosophical heroes, like these are two intellectual heavyweights that I both follow. He seems to be on the other side of it, but I have a decent understanding. I know like Vin compared it to like Jack Dorsey selling his first tweet. Like it's not actually tangible or real. You don't really own it. But I don't really understand.
There's a lot of that. He's not wrong. So like there's people out there that are like, yeah, selling their first tweet with an NFT, which those are like bullshit. But there has been some like high dollar art pieces sold via NFT. I'm not going to lie. I don't know a ton about it. Just about the 30 minutes worth on Robbie's show that I listened to. But I mean, yeah, there's a lot of bullshit. Like I'm sure like Demi Lovato is probably selling one of her farts to some creepy fan for, you know, $1 million via NFT. Not entirely sure on that.
Well, and those listeners who don't exactly air up to speed, like, so it's non-fungible token, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Right.
So yeah, I listened to a couple podcasts. Vin Armani talked about in Stapleton's podcast, and I heard him talk about it with Clint from Liberty Lockdown today. And then yeah, I heard Naval talking on or had tweeted about it a little bit. So I was like, I'm still trying to learn a little bit, but I have not dug deep. So I'm kind of ignorant on what exactly they are and if they're good or bad.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, it was actually it was phrased as basically being a replacement to like trading cards for sports. So people are selling like, you know, the digital version of insert basketball player's dunk as an NFT. But what you were saying, Tyler, and again, my knowledge is about as much as yours is. What's promising about it is when it's actually a token that's like a digital contract, you know, it's a real thing, you know, it represents the property itself or the contract itself. But yeah, I don't know exactly what it really is or what it differs from what else. It's a weird thing.
So can I auction off an NFT of myself to one of our like four female listeners?
I think that's technically slavery.
Like a hot dinner date with me, but it's an NFT. Like they get to trade me like a trading card.
Well, first you have to prove that we have four female listeners, which I'm.
That's true. That's an unverified claim. This is not dating advice.
Or one.
or even that genders exist before we get that.
Oh, that's true. I question the science.
Yes.
Science. For the record, I love Fauci. I think that there's at least 100 genders. Yeah. But no, like this could be a real, like there's no need to swipe anymore. I'm an NFT now. Put me on that Ethereum blockchain, baby.
I'll buy 10% today.
Yo.
10% of that T-bone.
I mean, that's like the definition of getting an e-girl.
Yeah, literally.
Or maybe you're an e-boy.
we might be onto something here.
You ain't bad to look at, Tyler. I'll tell you that much.
There you go. One of our potential 1 to 5 female listeners. You heard it here first. Save your money because this NFT isn't coming cheap. And by that, I mean minimum bets like 20.
Yeah. Yeah. sold to the lowest bidder.
Yeah. Hey.
So should we touch on, we have like, you know, probably 15 minutes left. Minneapolis riots 2.0. That's taking place. Get your thoughts, responses, and don't get us canceled. So
there's a lot going on there.
Honestly, it's a fucked up situation. I have my feelings on policing in its current state. And I don't agree with much of it for the record. But I do think that the argument that they're making in that officer's trial, I hate to say it, but he's probably going to walk.
Well, we talking same.
Are we talking? Oh, we're talking the existing trial or the new?
I was referring to the latest shooting.
Okay.
So I'm
not both irrelevant. They're both relevant.
I'm not saying I want that guy to walk because I think that was a shitty thing that happened. But in regards to the most recent one, how the fuck do you not know the difference between a taser and a Glock?
Dude, that just shows lack of training. I mean, and not only that, but it's just like competence level for the job. And once again, this has nothing to do with men versus women. I'm not saying she's a woman cop, but just if someone's not competent enough, if they crack under pressure like that, that should be vetted before you are allowed to be carrying out that job.
No, they can't exclude no more with hiring. They can't have standards.
Yeah.
We have to change the standards.
Right.
And you know, also if you like, I saw some like idiots online that are like, well, he shouldn't have had a gun. He's only 20 and you have to be 21. And like, I'm sorry, but the Second Amendment is an absolute right.
Right. That's the bigger picture here that, you know, the world class is missing is like he had a warrant out because he had because he got caught with a gun that wasn't registered with the city's like, you know, laws. It was not compliant.
Was it a gun?
So it's like, yeah, that's what his warrant was out for.
I got some fake news on the internet.
According, I listened to both Ben Shapiro and Tim Pool on this, and right. From what I've gathered in the last 2 days was that he had a warrant out for his arrest that he did not know about because he got pulled over prior and he had a gun that was like not compliant with whatever registration they needed in the city limits of Minneapolis. So it's like just a bullshit Second Amendment infringement. Is the bigger picture. It's like that guy got killed because they infringed on the Second Amendment.
Right.
And incompetence of a cop. It was a cop.
Right. Yeah.
So this is 100% the state's fault.
Yeah. It's like, let's not go black versus white. No. Like I'm on this guy's side. I think the state is what is wrong here. Like they overreact, make everything literally black and white all the time. They let no crisis go to waste. They use like, you know, the black culture as cannon fodder to get more power. That's all they do. They don't care about guys like Maj Ture or Hotep Jesus. Like those are black guys that are pro 2A. You don't hear about them because they don't actually care about the skin color. It's about we're going to use you as a chess piece to get more power. And that's what it's clearly all they do. They don't look into the bigger picture and be objective about what happened here.
Yeah. Well, I still like it blows my mind. Like even in a panicked state, like you should have done enough training that you know, like it should be fucking muscle memory how to draw your gun.
The thing of it is, like, and I've never had to pull a gun to save my life, whatever.
Hopefully you never will.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even have any, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
But you know, you think about it, like they carry full-sized handguns. Like it's got what, a 4-inch grip on the gun?
Yeah.
A taser's got half the size of a grip. Like you should be like, oh, this is weird. My pinky and ring finger aren't on what I'm holding. Like I just, it doesn't make any sense. I've never been in the heat of the moment. Yeah. Oh, shit. I shot him.
Yeah.
That's what she said, literally.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just pure incompetence. And once again, it has nothing to do with I don't want it to be misconstrued because I'm saying because she was a female officer. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that person was incompetent at that job. Like, if that is your job, is to be calm under pressure and make life or death decisions, you have to vet better. And, like, you guys all, I think we're all on the same page with, like, you know, we're not fans of, you know, the state having a monopoly on force anyways, but it's like the less answers to defund. It's like, so you just want none of this or less training. Like, how is that going to solve the issue? So just criminals run rampant with not even a private law enforcement, which would, you know, it would be something you could have a conversation about, but they want to just have no police. And I listened to Ben Shapiro and he said, apparently murder is up like 30% like in Minneapolis in the last 12 months. Like, I got some friends up there and like they were saying like crime is up. Like it's just they're boycotting the city and they're like lifelong fans of like the sports teams. And they're not even going to the games because there's like they don't want to give us a red cent to the city because the way they've handled this and kind of went woke. Like it's just not you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle. It's like, you don't have to go full back the blue and full, you know, defund the police. It's like,
why don't we kill two birds with one stone and demilitarize the police?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's it. It's like,
save money and they don't need that shit anyway.
Yeah. No. I mean, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, we'll call you if there's something, you know, if there's some guy driving reckless going 150 miles an hour, people will call you. We don't need road pirates. They're just out there patrolling us all the time, you know.
I don't know. Mad Max looked pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, did look pretty dope. So I really think that the real root of the problem that no one's getting to is like, why are all these unnecessary laws on the books? All of this goes back to like, why do police units need full auto weapons? The civilians can't own them, so why do the police need them? And why do they need armored vehicles? Why do they with our tax dollars paying for them? And why are all these laws on the books?
Well, you talk about unnecessary laws. Why'd the kid get pulled over in the first place?
Right.
Exactly. Air fresheners or something.
Yeah, air fresheners.
No, I thought he had an expired tag.
Okay, but even
either way. They just as dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I mean. There was no reason for that.
Yeah. No, and I feel the same way. It's like, because, you know, tragically, you know, it happens, I'm sure, all over the country where occasionally an officer gets hit while doing a routine pullover on the side of a highway or something, and a trucker hits them. It's a tragedy. It's terrible. I'm not trying to belittle any of that. But it's kind of just like, why are you putting that cop in that position in the first place? Why are you pulling someone over for going 8 miles an hour over and gambling with their life for that? Like, it's not truly a danger. It's like, because they kind of make it a revenue stream where it's like they're playing a cat game with people. And it's like, I think it's a tragedy that those people get killed by doing that or injured or anything. But let's not put them in that spot. Like, I just think there's other ways you can do things.
And there's also, did you know that in 2020, there was only 18 days where the police didn't shoot someone?
I believe
18
it. I
days believe it. Out of 365. Yeah. It's a lot of these laws put civilians and police officers in very unnecessary situations. I agree.
Right. And it's that's I like to be super clear about, because this is such a sensitive and polarizing issue. But it's like, because I got buddies that are cops. I got friends that are teachers. I mean, no disrespect to any of them. Anyone that any of the listeners know, if it's your wife or your brother-in-law, I don't have any disrespect towards these people. It's the system. I can separate the art from the artist. Like, they're probably great people. They're probably great at their job. They probably have great intentions. That's completely valid. But the system itself, you have to admit, is like, can we just at least talk about different ways to just completely overhaul the system to make it, make everything voluntary. And I would say privatized, but that's just way too radical for most people to hear. It's just too radical. It's like, oh man, the private sector can never do what we do. It's like,
let's try to get halfway there.
Yeah,
like something.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
there's incremental steps that can be taken for sure. Like abolishing all gun laws to start.
Hey, you know, a lot of states have been really good on guns in the past year, two, three.
Did you see
of states doing constitutional
police things? Police union presidents from several states, several pro-gun states, had a big get-together to say they don't want it.
Nice.
And like, that's what I mean. So, like, right off the bat, when you see all these states moving towards this, because, you know, I'm sorry, what's the best way to deter crime? Allow people to constitutionally carry.
Right. Speaking of which, while we're on this topic, Tyler, when we're done, can you shoot a tweet at Eric Brinkley? Because Brian McWilliams on Lions Liberty gave us a shout out today.
Yeah.
He plugged our ad in the middle of talking to him and said that it's a great podcast and he should come on here. And
he said they'll probably tweet you right away.
Yeah. And Eric said, I'll be waiting for the invitation.
So, I think Brian McWilliams should come on and have some drinks with us.
Hell for sure. Yeah. Dude, okay, so I mean, I was very happy with Dave Smith's ad reads, but holy shit, does Brian McWilliams sell it? I think he actually likes me when he talks about me.
Yeah. You know, and his pod today was really good on the gun topic as a whole. Like it talked about that a lot. I mean, there was a good chunk of it that was about constitutional carry and just that. It was a very good episode. It, Eric would be a great guest to have on.
Yeah, let's get him on. Like, I really liked what I had to hear. I've heard him a couple times, and shoot him a tweet. And Brian even said, he goes, "Oh, if the Pulse of the Wall guys are listening, they'll probably shoot you an invitation today."
Tweet him. I'll tweet him right now, live on air.
You're gonna have to tag Brian in it too.
Per request, we heard Brian you. McWilliams. Yeah, Brian's good shit. I'd love to have him back on.
Give him the old double eyeballs.
Oh, if I hit him with the double eyeballs, you can't turn that down.
Yeah, that's the real deal, man.
Well, cool guys, we're about at an hour, so. Well,
I guess long story short, it's time to slash it, slash those laws. There's too many of them on the books. You got too much unnecessary traffic stops, unnecessary gun laws, unnecessary pretty much everything laws. You know, I think that what this does is it creates an adversarial relationship that is completely unnecessary.
It creates fear. It does. And that was the root cause of this most recent death. It's fear. I mean, why else would that kid, you know, run? It's fear.
His
thought process was probably, well, I'm going to die anyway.
I can tell you from talking to folks that is how they feel. I have friends of mine that are minorities, and they're like, I'd love to buy a gun because, like, I think shooting looks fun. Like, you love to do it, but they're like, but I'm scared. They're like, it's different. Like, they literally think that, like, they buy themselves a nice, you know, Smith & Wesson M&P, and the minute they bring it home from the gun store, the cops are going to kick their door in.
Yeah, which, like, is, you know, a lot of that's just the fear-mongering from the media, where it's like you're going to become your belief. Which, you know?
I am very happy to report that African-Americans are the quickest rising population group for new gun ownership.
Hell yeah.
So props to Maj Touré, man.
Glad to have him aboard.
Hell yeah.
It's awesome.
Awesome. Well, so... guys, please head over to iTunes, leave us a review and a rating. No more of that 4-star bullshit like the one guy. Still sour about that.
Do we know who that guy is yet?
Well, here's the thing.
They're not buying my NFT, that's for sure.
Here's the etiquette. There's a certain etiquette that goes along with iTunes rating and reviewing. You give 1 star, no explanation needed. 5 stars, no explanation needed. You give me 4 stars, I'm lying awake self-conscious for weeks wondering why I didn't get 5. What did I do?
True.
Was it something I said? You know, I feel like you're just a girl who won't call me back or something. Like, you gotta let me know, man.
I think Tyler can probably attest to this too, but this is, you know, outside of the podcast, probably the 100th or 200th time I've heard this from Mike. You know, he really thinks about this a lot.
He's losing sleep over it, folks.
Right, he's not joking.
Just leave him a little review. Give him a
sense. I get a text at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, man, I'm still thinking about that review.
Yeah.
I know it's because I talk too fast. That's what it is. Ooh, I'm working on it, guys. Cool. Tyler, what's our new Twitter handle?
I'm in the middle of tweeting. It
should be easy to find then.
At Paul's to the Walls with a Z at the end.
Hell yeah.
That's how the cool kids do it. We use Z's where S's belong.
You can follow us there. You can DM us there. You can leave your 4-star review in our DMs. We will see it.
Not without an explanation, you can't. Not without an explanation. Like, great pod, but, you know, they could prepare better with their show notes. Something like that. Great pod, but we need some more left-wing commentators. Like, just give me a reason, you know?
I've read State and Revolution. I will talk to a communist. So maybe... Communists, if you're out there, a true Leninist, though. I'm not doing no Stalinist stuff. I will talk to you.
Tyler knows his enemy.
I'm a political science major, product of a liberal arts public school. I could fake it.
That's right.
There you go.
So
cool. Well, let's wrap.
Check us out at Freedom Fest, too.
Freedom Fest. Forgot. Great. Yeah. It's kind of a big deal. Let's
get there. And follow me at Schlitz_beer. Don't leave me a 4-star review.
No. 5 stars only.
Buy my NFT.
The NFT. But there's only 90% left because I already bought 10.
Yeah. One of our 4 female listeners.
All right,
all across the world.
Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it. We'll be here Friday. So yep. I'll post it Saturday. All right. We'll see you Saturday. Peace.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.